Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the blessing of worship, the opportunity we have to be in Thy house, to worship Thee, and help us, O Lord, to never take it lightly. For when we can come to Thy house and worship Thee in spirit and in truth, there is no greater assembly on the face of this earth than that. There is no greater blessing on the face of this earth than to be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to rejoice in Thy truth by the blessings of Thy Spirit. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for the blessings Thou hast given us thus far in worship this morning, in singing of hymns and prayer, both silently and audibly. And now, O Lord, we thank Thee that we have the opportunity of the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. And bless it, O Lord, that it might be worship, that it might be worship in spirit and truth, that it will honor and glorify Thee and edify Thy people. Bless it, O Lord, to these ends we pray. Bless this church, their new pastor. They may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. And bless, we're mindful of all the churches. Be with them and bless them to grow and prosper again, we pray Thee. And those without pastors, bless them with the pastor of Thy choosing. And all this we ask in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, and amen. The Lord being my helper this morning, I want to try to preach for a few moments on the subject of justification by faith. The subject of justification by faith. Now, I want to start off by asking this question, that is, what is justification? There's justification by faith, so we need to know what justification is. Every form of the word justify is translated from one Greek word. That is according to sources I have anyway. And it is translated into a form of justify each time it's used in the New Testament, except once, and I think that's in Revelation chapter 22, if I'm not mistaken, and then it's translated into righteousness, if I'm not, or righteous or righteousness, one or the other. But it means, that is, to justify. That particular Greek word means to render or to show righteous. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't know a great deal about the word render. I found one dictionary definition that I thought was rather profound, and I'm not going to try to get into that one this morning, but the only thing I've ever heard about rendering is rendering large. And I don't think that applies to what we have here this morning. I really don't think so, and I doubt many of you do either. But to render righteous can be the same as to make righteous. And that is, by the definition of the Greek word and the English definition I found, and I normally don't look up in English definitions, but I wanted to look up the definition of render. And that's the idea that Jesus made us righteous in the eyes of God by His shed blood there on the cross of Calvary. All right? There is justification by faith. And that's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And it reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? We are justified by faith. And because we are justified by faith, we have, and a brother told me years ago, and I rejoiced in that, he said, we experience the peace we have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? There is a justification by faith. There was a great theologian, and if I were to call his name, every one of you would recognize the name. In fact, there is a hymn in our hymnals that was written by him. So I'm not going to tell you which one it was so you won't look it up. But nevertheless, and I say this, don't give his name because I don't like to say, well, listen, this is what this one said. I don't like to criticize. I don't like to speak negatively. But there are some that say he was one that said that we are justified only by faith. Now, that's a thought that some had. Now, this is contrary to the Scriptures. We are justified by the blood of Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 9. And it reads, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Alright? Now, that verse of Scripture teaches us that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in my own opinion, for whatever that may be, in my own opinion, my firm belief is that when it means to render righteous, that's what's under consideration, that we are rendered or made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. And we're also justified by the grace of God. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 7. Again, the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 7. And it reads that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All right? So we are justified by the grace of God. And then we are justified by works. Look over a few pages in James chapter 2 and verse 21. James chapter 2 and verse 21. And it reads, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? All right, so the positive of that is that Abraham was justified by works. We'll say a little more about that as we go on further. We are justified by, that is, before God, we are justified by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. To see this, look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans 3 and verse 24. And it reads, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, I think the great majority of you know that we were redeemed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the payment, the necessary payment to redeem us from our sins. And we are justified by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The price of redemption has been paid. It was paid by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith and good works, brothers and sisters, are evidences of the Lord's work in our lives. Look over with me, if you will. You might want to hang over here because I'm going to come back to this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 and 2. And these two verses read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Alright? Now, those written in Hebrews chapter 11 did good works by faith. And I'll just stop right here and say, listen, that some of them did some amazing things by faith. Faith, and again, faith and good works are evidences of the Lord's work in our lives. Now, again, back to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and now, and notice this especially. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. For instance, I think if you were looking at someone, let me rephrase this, it would be a rare instance if you were looking at someone at the very moment that that person was born of the Spirit, that you know it. Now, you start seeing a change, probably, but nevertheless, if you were absolutely looking at someone that was born of the Spirit at the very time that occurred, then most of the time you would not know that. That would be a rare instance if you knew that. All right, so we've seen just a little bit about what justification is. All right, what is faith? We're justified by faith. I gave you a brief definition of justification. So what is faith? There is, first of all, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And that is a portion of Jude, verse 3. Now, Jude is one of those chapters that, one of those books of the Bible, excuse me, that's not divided up into chapters. And we preachers said a number of years ago, the liar's chapter is the second chapter of Jude. But there are no chapters in Jude. But Jude verse 3, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That is the Word of God. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints is the Word of God. God's Word is the faith that we are to know, to believe, and to obey. Now let me say that again. God's Word is the faith we are to know, we are to believe, and we are to obey. Now I know that there are parts of it that I know, there are parts of it I don't know. You've heard me say a number of times, most of you, that I've read it for a number of years. Now listen, I don't say that in boasting, and I tell you why. Because there's still plenty of it that I don't know what it means. I've been reading through Ezekiel, I tell you, I don't mind telling you. There are things in there that I don't understand. But I can see the overall picture there that God was going to judge Israel and Judah. And He did. And then I've been reading in chapters 36 and 37 of Ezekiel where God told Ezekiel to prophesy that, listen, He was going to bring them back. And they would be blessed in being brought back and all those things. Now, the overall picture I can understand. But wheels within wheels? No, I don't know what it means. If you know, afterwards you let me know, and I'll be glad to hear it. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, there are plenty in there that I don't know. But listen, it's important to know the Word of God. Listen, I think there are a lot of things that happen in our nation today because many of God's people don't know the Word of God. We'll never know all of it, but that many of God's people do not have a good understanding of the teaching that's found in the Word of God. And then there's some that, and we might be guilty to some degree, that they see certain things and say, well, I don't believe that, or well, this is told over here, well, this can't be true because something over here says something different. Well, no, God doesn't work that way. God is not inconsistent. God's Word is consistent in every way. There have been atheists, that wanted to find all the fallacies in the Word of God. And they read it just for that reason. And some of them came to the conclusion that if there are men that have written things over a number of men that wrote things over a long period of time, different periods of time, and yet with no inconsistencies whatsoever, it could be nothing but the Word of God. Now, that's an amazing thing. Atheists have been converted just by reading the Word of God. God touched their lives, first of all, but then they were converted by reading the Word of God and found out that it's got to be the Word of God. But listen, the idea again is that when God's Word is the faith we are to know and to believe and to understand, and first of all, remember that God's Word does not change. God's truth does not change. It doesn't matter how society may be. It doesn't matter how things may be in different times and so forth. God's Word does not change. And I tell you, that's a blessing, brothers and sisters, to know that regardless of how things are, God does not change, neither does His Word change. There are different versions of the Bible, more than I can even begin to name all of them. I know a few of them, but nevertheless, they may write something different, but God does not change, neither does His truth change. And thank the Lord for that. Now listen, I don't know of a time when this is important as it is today. That is, of God's people knowing, believing, and obeying the Word of God. I don't know of a time that is more important than it is today and with all the things that are going on within our nation. All right, so faith, there was a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the Word of God. That's this Bible. All right? Now, faith is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. There is a faith that is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you probably know those are found in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. And faith is something that is within us. We have faith because the Holy Spirit is within us. Now think of it in this way. Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit, and we have the fruit of the Spirit within us because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is within us. We cannot have faith unless the Holy Spirit is within us. And there is a believer. Anyone can have faith. Well, you want to be born again? Well, just have faith. Well, that doesn't work very well because a person can't have faith unless the Holy Spirit is already within him. And the Holy Spirit is already within him because he's been born of the Spirit of God. He's experienced the new birth. He's been quickened by Christ Jesus. He's no longer dead in trespasses and sins because God has quickened him by his amazing grace. Alright? But there's a belief that just anyone can have faith. Well, again, if we don't have the Spirit already within us, we won't have faith. We cannot have faith to be born again. Alright. Now, faith is the fruit of the Spirit, and if we have faith, we are born again. Again, faith is the evidence of things not seen, which again is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the evidence and not the cause. Faith is the evidence and not the cause. All right, how do we know someone has faith? Well, good works are evidences of the faith within us. If you wish, turn with me to James chapter 2, and I want to read verses 18 through 20. Again, James chapter 2 and verses 18 through 20. And these verses read, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" That is to say, faith without works is of no value. We show, brothers and sisters, our faith by our good works. Think of these things. We believe the Scriptures, the Bible, the Scriptures are the infallible Word of God, right in every way. We believe in the existence of the living and true God. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe Jesus died for our sins. We believe we have a home in heaven, in heaven's pure world. And now listen, what is this? And people say, well, that's not a good work. Well, I disagree with anyone who feels that way to some degree. Because I remember a number of years ago, a nutrition teacher I had said that there are people that cram for final exams and they lose weight. Now, they must have really crammed to do that. But they think and they think and they think. They say they burn the midnight oil and all those things there. And they lose weight during that time. Well, she said because they're burning calories there. And so in order for me to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I believed it a long time just for the record, as you might imagine, or just to think about the fact that Jesus is the Son of God requires the burning of calories. And that's the work there. And besides that, belief is an active word. All right, if I say, I believe that Jesus is the Word of God, and he is the living Word of God, or I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I think practically every one of you, if not all of you, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, belief is an active verb. All right, belief is an active word. Now, I've said this a number of times. I'm not a grammarian. And regretfully, I prove it in the pulpit a lot of times. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, I do believe that believe is an active verb. All right? We believe God will bless us to do what we could not do by ourselves. I remember a number of years ago, back in about 1979, Kathy and I were with living down in Ocala, staying at the camp there, and I preached a couple of Sundays there at the Ocala Primitive Baptist Church. And I remember that some of them had us out for a meal at certain times, and this brother and his wife had us in their home, and he told us about a lady, a neighbor that they have, or someone there in Ocala, and she said that after I get through paying all my bills, then I've got this left. And listen, I don't remember how much it was, but it was less than $10. Now that wasn't a whole lot in that day, and so, of course, a whole lot less today. But nevertheless, that's all she had. Now, this spiritually minded brother told her this: you need to give that to the church. She said, what? I won't have anything if I do that. He said, you need to give that to the church. Well, evidently she did. And then she, next time after that, he saw this brother, he told her, I did what you said. I gave what I had left over to the church. And my children started giving me money. Now, you see, that was a work of faith. Here's something that she could not do. Here's something that within human thinking, that's rather stupid. But the wisdom of God is better than the wisdom of man. Well, I think the scripture said the foolishness of God, if there was such a thing, I'll put it that way, is greater than the wisdom of man. That lady, by faith, gave what she had, and the Lord had another way of taking care of her. I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if her children would have started doing what they did if she hadn't done what she did. But she stepped out on faith, and God blessed her efforts there. Preaching the Word of God. Listen, studying to preach here or next Sunday or the Sunday after that or whatever. How do I know that this is what the Lord would have me to preach? I don't know, but when you feel the Lord's blessings with you, then you begin to know, you begin to feel. I remember a number of years ago, I was preaching a meeting at one church, and I think it was at least the second night of a three-night meeting, if not the third, and the Lord had been good to us, the Lord blessed, and so forth, and yet while I was up in that pulpit singing the song service, I didn't have a clue whether the Lord would bless me to try to preach the Word of God or not. But until I started reading the Scriptures and trying to make comments from the Word of God, and I felt then, well, yes, the Lord is going to be good, and the Lord was good at that time. I had one of those texts that one brother called the Primitive Baptist First National Bank and Trust. That is it. Let's see, what is it? Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that's Romans chapter 5 and verse 21. But nevertheless, but even with that text, I didn't have a clue whether the Lord would be good and bless or not. But he did, and thank the Lord for that. So we have to walk by faith. All right, that they're doing many things that are taught here in the Word of God. We have to walk by faith. The Lord may put something on our heart that's not in the Word of God, certainly not contrary to the Word of God. Of course, the Lord is not going to put anything on my heart or yours that's contrary to His Word. But the Lord may put certain things, to do certain things, to show some act of kindness that's not contained there in the Word of God. And I'm reminded of this. Listen. If we do something like that, the Lord is going to bless those efforts. I remind of the scripture in, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. And at the end of that it says, thou shalt find it after many days. Well, the Lord's going to give it back to us. We won't know how He gave it back to us or when He gave it back to us, but He's going to do that because He made that promise. And when God makes a promise, we can rest assured that we can do, that He will keep His promise. All right? Our faith, brothers and sisters, if not exercised, is dead. I may believe that God can bless me to do something, but don't. I just say, I can't do it. And there are a lot of things we can't do. I acknowledge that. Now, turn with me, if you will, back over to Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to read verses 32 through 34. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. These are some things that, well, these people did some things they couldn't do. But they did because God was with them. Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now, there it goes on further than that. But listen, these people, did name some of them, but these people, some of them unnamed, did great things by faith. And thank the Lord for that. And so what does that tell us? With God's help, we can do much. I mentioned it either privately or publicly when I was here the last time, but The old gospel song, little as much, if God is in. That's an amazing thing. If God is in something, little is much. And God can bless little to become much. Just as much as God blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes to either feed the 5,000 or the 4,000, one the other. And I can't remember which one it is. It's not important. Well, it was 4,000, it was great. It was 5,000, we say. It was even greater than that. In both of those instances, it was besides women and children. So God could take little and make much of it. During the time of Elijah, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, that is when he went to the widow woman there at during the time of drought, and she had enough meal and enough oil to make a cake for herself and her son. And Elijah told her, or the prophet told her, make one for me first. But she said, I've got just this, but at thy word, I'll do that. And as long as Elijah was there, and as long as that drought existed, there was always a little bit of meal in the bottom of a barrel. And there was a little bit of oil in the cruse there for her to make one for herself and her son and for the prophet. God bless those efforts. That's one of those examples is little is much when God is indeed in it. All right, and so we can do much with God's help. How is our faith exercised? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. And I want to read verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, and verses 6 through 9. And these verses read, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Those to whom Peter was writing rejoiced in Jesus. In the first part of verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. All right? Now, and then their faith was Christ. Excuse me. They rejoiced in Jesus by faith. In verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is, the word faith is not in that verse of Scripture, but they believed in him, one whom they had not seen. And so that means faith to me. All right? Then, and their faith was tried. Look at verses 6 and 7, or starting with the middle of verse 6. If need be, ye are through heaviness, through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, brothers and sisters, faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Now, gold is, well, it doesn't perish. It doesn't rust. It doesn't dissolve, except for two acids mixed together, which I don't suppose that occurs in nature. And yet, it can be stolen. It can be lost. And so in that way, gold perishes. Faith is better than that. Faith, like gold, is trying. And sometimes bad things happen to us. And there is such a thing as the judgment of God here in this world. I mentioned reading in Ezekiel. I've been reading in Jeremiah also. If anyone doesn't believe that there's a judgment of God, then look at that. And then look at the messages to the 7 churches of Asia. So in New Testament times, it still happens. But there's a judgment of God in this world. But God tries our faith to see if our faith is strong. I would tend to think most of the time when something unpleasant happens in our lives, it's because our faith is being tried. All right? Good people have had their faith tried. Abraham was tried when he went to offer up his son Isaac, when God told him to offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering. And Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so Job said his faith was being tried. Now, these people to whom Peter wrote received their salvation. And that's in verse 9. They already had salvation within them. And by faith, they could receive the blessings and rejoice in their salvation. Let me say this. The most of the time, the word save or another verb form of that, or the word salvation is found in the Scriptures. It's not referring to our being born again or our being in heaven someday, but rather experiencing the joys of our salvation as we live here in this world. And by faith, they can receive the blessings of their salvation. Now, here's a question each one of us to ask ourselves. Am I justified by faith? Am I justified by faith? That is, and here's what I mean by that. Do others see the evidences of what God has done in our lives? Do others see that in our lives? Do we tell others what God has done for us? And do we put our faith into practice with good works? That is, what we know we cannot do by ourselves. And then when we walk by faith, I want to tell you this, brothers and sisters, when we walk by faith, that is, according by the faith which is within us, that is the fruit of the Spirit that we have every day of our lives, and then walk according to the Word of God, regardless of what it may take, that when we walk by faith, that glorifies God. And the fruit of the Spirit, and the Word of God. That is, when we walk by faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit, and walk according to the faith once delivered unto the saints, which is the Word of God. God help us that by faith, that we might live and glorify the Lord, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.